The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
I'm Jacqueline Johnson.
And I'm Marina Middleton.
And this is Work Party,
a podcast that's part work and part party.
Work Party celebrates a new generation of women who are redefining the meaning of work on their own terms and having fun while doing it.
In this podcast, we are diving into all the areas of being a working woman, mind, body, and business. No topic is off limit.
Real talk and hot takes. Think of us as your internet work wives. This is Work Party,
the podcast.
Wait, where's the champagne?
Hey, everyone. Welcome to a new episode of Work Party. And today we are talking about the big D.
No, not that D, sadly.
Dating.
Dating.
And the other big D, not that D, divorce. Dating and divorce. Two of my like nightmarish topics. No, I'm just kidding. But let's ride.
And both of those topics that, one, I'm not dating and I'm happily married. But I've been through it. Like, I've been through the fucking ringer.
Well, you're in a new relationship with me, so just
yes,
work honestly, wife.
I always tell you that, like, this is a marriage. We got to treat it. It really is.
But, it is, girl.
Okay, so tell us. Let's talk about it. Let's get into it.
Yes. So I it's funny. Like, I thought it was sort of well known, but I guess it's not. But like, I'm somebody, but I got divorced over a year ago, right around the time when I sold the company. So just two big personal bomb drops in at the same time. Highly don't recommend. Very stressful all around. But yeah, big identity changes. You know, I mean, I think for me, it was, and I'll preface this by saying we're very friendly. Yeah. It was an amicable divorce in many ways. I think, you know, which I'm really proud of, to be honest. Like, I think that's kind of rare. Even though I think it's becoming more and more common. A couple friends of mine are in a similar situation, especially when you don't have kids, right? Because you can really cut ties and go your own way and never talk again. But we, you know, we had like a friendship there. We were together for 10 years, truly like almost the span of the company of building, create, and cultivate. But so I'm 38, turning 39.
Love it.
And dating.
I love that.
Do we?
I mean, listen, I love it because, okay, so I have had some like pretty crappy relationships and all have not ended peacefully. And I was like previously married for maybe like an hour. And so that's why I never share it because I value my marriage so much. And I love my husband obviously so, so much. And so when I say like, oh, I was married, it for me and how like I perceived my marriage and divorce, it devalued what I have now. It wasn't a 10-year relationship. It wasn't anything. Yeah. And it was really hard for me like get back out there and start dating. It was also very hard for me to start dating while I had a child.
Yeah, I want
to
hear about that.
Yeah, that was like just a whole thing on the apps and it was just like not it. But I also can't imagine being in a relationship for 10 years and then starting over. And also selling your company where I feel like those are two massive
shifts. Don't pretend like your iWatch didn't, or your Apple Watch just didn't go off.
I was
girl.
Just like, oh, let me just pick up where I left off.
Okay, yeah, you brushed right over.
Do you know what? That was 3 o'clock pickup time for Sebastian at the bus. So
sorry, Sebby. See you later. Just kidding. Go ahead.
No, but seriously, like I can't imagine having these two big major life shifts. So let's talk through it. Like, how did you get through it? What does that look like?
I mean, it is like in the first episode of this season, you know, I talked about waking up and not having emails and then you wake up and you don't have someone next to you after 10 years of that. It's challenging. It's really hard. It was definitely lonely. I definitely had moments where I was like, I'm going to die alone and I need to be okay with that because I think for me, previous to my relationship, which again was feels like 1,000 years ago, like I was also not great at dating in my 20s. I was a workaholic. I worked all the time, even throughout my marriage. I think that was part of the demise was my schedule and how much I was committing to the company and not being emotionally available. So, I mean, that's what I've known, right? So now I'm in this position where I'm like, okay, I don't have a lot of work. I'm not doing a lot of work right now. Oh, and I don't have a husband anymore and I have to go date.
Yeah.
So out the gate, I was a real disaster.
Guys, we got to level set because we got to throw it out there because I don't think people realize this. Jacqueline's definition of work, her benchmark of her work ethic is higher than someone's like working 1,000 hours a week. Like you work so much still, but it is at a different level.
So yes. And it was a fraction of what I was doing at that time. Not to say it's, you know, I'm so mad. I can't remember who this was, but someone was saying on the podcast, like, no, you have to work all the time to get to the level that you want. Yeah. And it's true. Like, I wish, and I think there are shortcuts in some ways that I'm probably missed along the way. But the reality is the people I know who are the most successful, who have made the most amount of money, work the hardest.
But that comes at a cost.
And it comes at a cost. Oftentimes relationships, not even just romantically, friendships, all the things. So I think for me, getting back into the dating pool is challenging for a few different reasons. One is like, I'm at an interesting age, right? Where it's like, are you going to have kids? You're not going to have kids. Like every day of my life, are you going to have kids? You're not going to have kids. And it's like, I don't know. Granted, there's so many amazing women that have kids in their 40s. I know a lot of them. Obviously IVF, there's a million different options. But I definitely got nervous about like my timing, right? Mm-hmm. Where I was like, because I might not be as desirable because I'm an older lady, a geriatric pregnancy. But like, I'm a golden girl at the end of the day. But you know what I'm saying? Like, biologically, that's a thing for some people. And as we've talked about, I can go either way with kids. Like, I could have kids. It's very partner specific. And two is that I'm successful. And men, as much as they think they like that, it's a problem.
I've realized, though, I'm fortunate enough to have so many amazing, successful friends in my life. And it is harder to date the more successful you are as a woman.
Yeah.
When you see a man that is so successful, that has two exits underneath his belt, that have two homes, that it like, you'd be like, oh yeah. When a man sees that for a woman, they're like, cock block. Like, is this like, truly, it's like, I can't measure, or there's like this different energy. And I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
But also it's like, let's talk through that. How has dating been going? Like, where do you meet people? Tell us all the things.
I mean, look, you got everyone get on the apps, get on the apps. And it's like, okay, so I've been on the apps. I think I immediately went back to my 27-year-old dating habits the first time around. It was like, anxious, like wanting the text all the time. Also coming from marriage, you're like, my expectation is communication and this, that. And like, that's just not how the dating apps. Also, I didn't realize no one talks to each other in the dating apps. So I came in, how's your day going? Everyone's like, leave me alone, you fucking psycho.
Crazy.
Like, fucking loser. No one says hi, you idiot. I was like, and then when I found that out, I was like, oh God, don't look at me ever. Like, this is such a nightmare. So, I was anxious girly. And then I got an anxious attached girly TikTok and I was like, oh, I gotta reel it in. And then I realized, I was like, I'm not 27-year-old anxious girly. I am 38-year-old boss bitch.
Yeah.
And I get to pick and I'm the cheese.
Yeah. Right? I told Jacqueline. You are the cheese, not the mouse. We don't chase, okay? They chase us.
So now I tell everyone I'm the cheese. Listen, I'm the cheese.
Pepper Jack.
Yeah, best.
But truly, it is. It's hard. It's hard to get on the apps. Like, it's hard. I remember.
No, it's hard.
Again, when I went on the apps, it was, I took a year off of dating and I went on the apps and like, there were two waves of people. One wave of people being like, oh, I can't wait to take you and your child out. And I'm like, you will never.
Absolutely not.
Like, no, thank you.
It's the weirdest thing I've ever heard.
And then the other wave is like sending dick pics. And I'm like, whoa, I did not ask for that. Like, oh my God, Sebastian's going to listen to this episode.
Oh my God. I've never gotten on the dick pic side
really?
Of the internet.
Wow. No. I don't know what I'm doing. What signal am I putting?
I don't know, girl.
But it really, like, I'm not joking. It was just disgusting. I was like, I hate it here. I hate it in this world. And so I got off.
Yeah.
And I stopped using dating apps. And I was like, I'm going to meet someone through a friend or through someone in the past. So like
the Holy Grail. Yeah. Dating. Like,
but
please.
Like, I feel like you've also had some good dates. Like, really good. Like,
I've gotten better, I would say, over the time period. But no, I've had really good dates. I've learned. And I think the best thing was my therapist was like, everything is information and data. And that's how you have to stop thinking about it as like, well, then this happened. I don't know what that means. It's like, it's all information.
Yeah.
Oh, he doesn't call me. He doesn't say good morning or good night. Check on me when I get home. Information.
Yeah.
Oh, he like, you know, makes a plan and is so wonderful. Information. And you take that information and you say, do I like this person? Do I like this? Am I willing to tolerate the things I don't like? And I think that really shaped my perception going on dates, because I met great people that had amazing qualities and I've had a lot of fun. And then I've just been like, I have all the information and I don't think it's a match. It's not for me. And I think that's when I started to think about it in that way, it was interesting. And I think also like I'm in an interesting place because I'm also not like, I need to get married tomorrow, you know, which I think sometimes like if you want to get married and you're in your late 30s, like you're very serious about dating, right? Which is great. Like I'm a little bit more like, oh, I've been there, done that. And I want to maybe do it again, but I want to do it asking all the right questions, going into it with the right, you know, the right reasons, the right sensibility. Like, because I think I'm so different now than I was during my first relationship.
I was gonna say, you've collected 10 years of data.
Totally.
Right? Of the things that you like and you don't like. And you wouldn't know that unless you went through it.
Yeah. And I consider it, I mean, listen, I consider it by all means a successful relationship. I have no regrets.
Yeah.
I think we were there for each other in a really like intense period of our lives, growing businesses and COVID and everything. So, you know, I learned a lot, I think. And I think there's, you know, there's nothing wrong with divorce. I think that's the other thing. I think the best part of, the one thing I did love about divorce, and you get two reactions when you tell people, I'm so sorry, or congratulations. And I think the latter is the right word, right? Congratulations. Because no matter what, they're getting out of a situation they did not want to be in. And 100%. I think even if that person is heartbroken and destroyed, they got out of something where someone didn't want to be with them. So congrats. You're going to be in a relationship where someone loves you and wants you.
Yeah.
Or whatever the case may be. So I think that was really interesting. So next time someone tells you they get divorced, say congratulations. I think it really made me feel good. But I do think there's been this wave of divorces among successful women when you really look at, you know, the drawing board. I mean, J-Lo, Sofia Vergara. I mean,
Johnson. Yep, that's what I'm
all
saying.
All the same caliber women. No, I'm just kidding. But also a lot of women I know professionally that have built these companies. I think it's really challenging. But what's interesting, and I have some stats here that I'm excited to share, but the share of women who earn as much or significantly more than their husbands has tripled over the past 50 years. So women are becoming the breadwinners and men don't know what to do with themselves.
Yeah, truly. Truly. Truly.
Are men okay?
Are you okay?
No. No. Because they don't know how to handle that because it's gender dynamics. It's that's how men, you know, taking care of things. And one of the things that I have learned a lot about in the last 6 months, and I was actually just on Morgan DeBond's podcast talking about two words, Chica.
Feminine energy. That was a good layup. That was a good one.
Our girl Chica is the master of feminine energy and she kind of really brought it to my attention. But this is a whole new world. So talk about feminine energy.
Girl, I operate from a masculine energy. Like I am the most aggressive.
No.
Like, but this is what I'm saying.
In work you are.
In work, but also, and it's hard sometimes to turn that off. And so after meeting Chica, I have been so much more intentional with just trying to calm down, let the man lead.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Not trying to take control of everything. Mm. Just because you take control of everything or have all of these decisions and that you're making throughout the day, like that doesn't have to also be reflective at home or when you're dating. Like, let him lead. Like, and I'm trying to figure it out. How is like the feminine energy world coming to you?
It blew my mind, I'll say, reflecting on the relationship I had. And I was like, I was 100% in my masculine. I was 400% in my masculine. I just, when you're all day like buy, sell, go, do, cancel, put this fire out. I have to go like, you know, deal with this. Like you are in your masculine energy. And I think, and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, truthfully, that's kind of what it's taken to get to, you know, levels of success or whatever. Feminine energy, I think I was all up in my feminine energy during the couple years I had off. I would say I was like really like, you know, I was like taking it in. I wanted to be taken care of. I didn't have a ton of email. I was like intake. I was like, do less, do less, do less. And now that we're back in the grind a little bit, I find myself going back and forth and I'm really trying to maintain the feminine energy and even bring the feminine energy into
the work environment,
boss mode.
Yeah.
Because I, you know, I don't want it to be that way. I feel like, you know, feminine energy is so powerful and amazing and like can do so many great things in the workplace. It's just, it's the default of where we go.
Yeah. But I think there's like the pros of, you know, even just like, again, women in leadership, right? The feminine side of them is the empathy, the calmness. Like all of those things are such great
qualities. No chill.
No, you do not. Ruthless. But truly, like
I'm so jealous of the chill girls that I see. I'm like, how do I
tried to be chill one day with Jacqueline about something. And I was like, ha ha, everything's fine. And she's like, everything's not fine.
I was
fine.
Like, I wouldn't be laughing if I were you.
But truly, like, it is hard to balance the two. But, you know, I just want to talk a little bit just real quick about outside of feminine energy. But I think it's also like society.
Yeah.
When I'm too much in my feminine energy, quote unquote, and I'm letting like my husband lead, that's quote unquote normal. But if I'm working and traveling and, you know, maybe making all the rules in the house, like I feel like, I don't know, family and friends are like, is he okay? Who's helping him? How are you doing it? How? And I don't know. I just feel like it's these weird conversations that come out. Like when I travel all the time or if I'm like working overtime and all of this stuff, people are like, who's watching Sebastian? Is Matt okay? And
okay. I'm like, well, wait for this. Even as financial contributions have become more equal in marriages, the way couples divide their time between paid work and home life remains unbalanced. Women pick up a heavier load when it comes to household chores and caregiving responsibilities, while men spend more time on work and leisure.
Okay, listen. And I, again, I'm preface. I love my husband.
But.
I'm coming for you. No, I'm just kidding. But truly,
buckle
it
up,
is
Matt.
Different. And I actually think it's, you know, and I said this to you the other day. Sebastian, we took him to Miami and Sebastian said something to my friend of like, mom works so much.
Aww.
And I feel like I can't talk to her sometimes because she's always on the phone, all this stuff. And I'm like, what? Mind you, I do drop off. I get him ready in the morning. I do drop off. I do pick up. I will take him on vacations with us, obviously. But like while I'm working, I'm on my laptop. So I realized something. It's because he sees me working. I'm home with him. Like at 3 o'clock, I'm home with him working. The difference is Matt is at work physically. So he doesn't see Matt
Associate.
Working. So he's not associating, oh, well, like my dad's not here because he's working. He's just like out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah.
And then it's the flip side. When I'm gone and Matt is home and Matt has calls and working, Sebastian says the same thing. He's like, you know, whatever. Dad worked all day. And it's this like guilt that overcomes you. But there is a stat. It's like 30% of women took on 30% more after COVID because of all of the responsibility that they had with like their household and work and all of that stuff. It will never be even. I don't ever foresee it being even.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a person. I think you have to like within the household.
Set those boundaries.
You know what I mean? Like I'm sure it's challenging in so many different ways, but I just think that's so wild. Like even when I'm making more money than you, working harder than you, I mean, not working harder than you, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I still have to do all the other shit. Like, come on. Like, I just feel like that can't be.
No.
It's true, though. It's true. It's Pew research data, y'all.
Yeah.
But, okay. So here's my, like, getting into, like, gender roles and all these things. Like, are we sharing bank accounts?
Mm.
Are we paying the bill? What's going on?
Yeah. I mean, listen. So you're dating. So if you do it again, I want to know if you would do it differently. So I'll tell you how I like to do things. So I don't pay a bill.
Not one.
From our first date, I don't even go for my purse.
Where did you bring it? Did you
no,
even bring a
it's
purse?
Lipstick. No. Lipstick. Because here's the thing. I want you to lead. Can I pay? Yes. But like, take me out. Like, I don't know. There's just something so sexy about a man being like, I got it. It's like, okay.
As long as they're not, I got it and I'm going into debt.
And I'm going
deeper into the deep
so,
end.
So, yeah. You know, so I say that like, and you know, my cousins and I will talk about this. Like, sure. Okay. You'll pay for dinner. We go to movies. Fine. Maybe you bought the tickets. I'll get the snacks. You know what I mean? I'm not like totally ruthless, but I do think there is a, like, there, like, I don't know, like hold the door open, like pay for the bill, like all of that stuff. Now that we're married, I mean, we split the rent half, like literally.
It's like a 50-50.
It's a 50-50, but I do have my own bank account. I do not want to share bank accounts. But I did say, like, once either of us sell, then we can share bank accounts. Like,
but like, girl, I don't know.
Like, I just want, what about when he sells first? Then we can share bank accounts.
You're like, once you sell.
Yeah, once you sell, we can share bank accounts. Though. When I sell, we're going to have separate bank accounts.
See ya.
But okay, so obviously, again, you were married. What did you do in that relationship in terms of like splitting the bills, all that stuff? And would you do things differently when it came to how you handled certain things?
Here's what I'll say. Yes, we were separate. All the things were separate for me. I think I ended up taking care of too much in terms of all the financials. And I'm talking about big stuff like buying homes. And I think this was bad for two reasons. One is like, I was totally me doing it, right? Yeah. Like it wasn't like, you know, but he, you know, we were on very different levels. And I think it ended up creating a dynamic that was not sexy.
Yeah.
And I think it was really hard. And I think it was no one's fault. Like, I was trying to build an amazing life for us. And he was so supportive, like the most supportive of me in my career. But no matter what, there's masculine, feminine energy. And it weighs on people in different. And I think like long term, I did too much.
Yeah.
And I should have done less. And I think I should have let, leading and all those things. And things you learn, what I mean? It's like we're out here trying to redefine what it means to be in a relationship and being in a marriage when you're making, more money or whatever. And also while you're, together. And so it's hard to navigate. It's tricky to navigate. And I think, we did our best and we tried to figure it out, but I think it was really hard. I think long term, like I honestly don't even remember who paid the bills. I'm 99% sure at the beginning he definitely did. I feel like, but like after a while you're like, what year is it?
I don't even know. And like
We started 50-50 and then it changed. Yeah. And I think that was. I think it's hard. Yeah. I don't know. I don't have the answers.
I remember I would Zelle Matt 50% of the rent every month, and it was like if it was 2022 or something. I just stopped.
Just stopped one day.
Stopped. And we never really talked about it.
No.
I was just like, I'm done paying you, bro. Like,
I will. You're like, I'm squatting.
Like, I'm dead. But like,
what I would have done differently, I think, or what I might do differently moving forward is having a joint bank account that we use for certain things that are ours. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because I think there's something about that I think ties you together, is meaningful. And that you're building a little nest egg together. That's totally. You contribute equally and it's good in that way. But if I ever had the husband that was like, what's this charge? I'd be like, oh.
Well, it's so funny you say that. And we can talk about love languages too. But, I think for me, why I always wanted to separate my bank account is a few things. One, I grew up very poor, very, very poor.
Relationships with money is so real.
Yeah. We came here from Egypt with no money. And for me growing up, I always associated happiness and worth with money. And so whenever I had money, I was very protective of it. I hated owing people money and I hated people owing me money. And so that has been something in my relationship that I've had to work through, because it's like we're married. It's a partnership. And I'm like, this is my money, And so that was one of the things that I worked through. But I realized also spending habits are different. And I laughed about this earlier, but I don't splurge a lot. But if your girl wants a cute little new bag or a cute pair of shoes, I want to be able to go get it and feel like I don't have to check in with anybody, right?
Totally.
And vice versa, even for, Matt, whatever he wants, he gets to spend his money however he wants to spend it, obviously with limits. But our love languages are different. And so with that, I feel like how you receive and communicate and all of that stuff needs to be very clear.
Marina's love language is free shit for anyone who's listening and wants to gift her some free shit.
Please email me at
no, legit. You see this girl around a gift bag, it is a wild animal.
Put me on your PR list. Whatever you have, send it my
way. Your gifts, what's Matt?
Oh my God. Quality time.
Yeah.
He loves time together. He loves quality time and he loves physical touch.
Yeah. Love.
I'm like, I would like to be in silence, not around anybody. Don't touch me.
Is that a present?
Is there a present? No, but it is so interesting because these are conversations truly I didn't have early on in my relationship.
It wasn't a thing.
Do you ask love languages on dates?
Oh, immediately. I need to know. Yes, I'm attachment style. Are you in therapy? What is your love language? No, immediately. And my love language changed because I think in my marriage, it was acts of service because I was so busy. Mm. I was like, help a girl out. Now I'm like, I got it. I just need physical touch and words of affirmation.
Yeah, which is so funny. I mean, words of affirmation, I feel like it's slowly becoming mine. Just like, I need to hear a good job or that you miss me or that you're excited that I'm coming to LA to visit you.
You're talking about now for me. Your love language for me is words of affirmation. I mean, it's for you. It's words
of
affirmation.
No, but I think it is so important to ask those things on dates for sure. I never thought to ask that stuff. And you don't realize it. And really when I realized it is Matt also was doing all acts of service. I don't need an acts of service. You don't have to do a single thing for me. I got it. And every time like I would travel, I'd come home and he'd like clean the pantry. And the pantry would have been cleaned. And I'm like, what is this? And he expected me to be like, oh, thank wow. you so much. Yeah. Oh my God. And it, because it, I don't know. That's not how I received love.
Yeah. But you have to talk about those things.
Right, right, yeah. right. And so I'm like, oh my God, like so great. Like I want a gift.
Like, is there a Tiffany box in that? Like, what's pantry? That? What's going on?
No, but it is really important to obviously have so those funny. Conversations. I know nothing about attachment styles.
Okay. So attachment styles are really dictated by how you grew up. So there's anxious attachment, which is like you get very anxious when you don't hear from someone. Like you bring a lot of anxiety into that relationship. You attach by being anxious. So like them leaving, even if they're the wrong person, makes you so anxious and scared, right? Mm. Then there's secure attachment style, which is like, I'm healthy. I have boundaries. I'm in a relationship. I'm a secure person. I'm not going to like, you know, gaslight you, make you feel. So that's like, everyone's aiming to be secure. Mm. And then there's avoidant, where it's like, you just avoid any confrontation or anything. You don't, you're like, I can't deal with this. I got to go, versus like, let's talk about it. And then there's anxious avoidance, right? There's all sorts of different things. So I was definitely like an anxious girl. I'm definitely not avoidant, but I would say now I feel like I'm skewing more secure attached because I'm in this place where I'm like, I want a relationship. I don't need a relationship.
Yeah.
And if like, I watched this TikTok and I was like, this TikTok, I need this, where it was like, if they're not interested, that is an ick.
Yeah.
And I was like, ah,
yeah.
Because it's like, why didn't you call? Why didn't you? Who cares? I'm not interested now. You're not interested. I'm not interested.
Yeah.
So that's because that's like a new thing where I'm like, oh yeah, that's unattractive to me that you're not making a plan to hang next. So I got to go.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's kind of love languages. But I think in terms of dating, I think it's all about you. Mm-hmm. It's not even about the other person. Like go into it with the expectation that where you're asking the question. And Tinks has said this too on like different podcasts, which I love, where she's like, are you interested in them?
Yeah.
Who gives a shit if they're interested in you? If they're interested in you, bonus. If you're interested in them, great.
Yeah.
That's what you need. It's the job interview, right? You're interviewing both ways.
Hannah from Giggly Squad said she saw something on TikTok that said, men when they date, they start at a zero and then you build up. You know, like that you are a zero to them. There's no like, oh, I love her. Nothing. Right. And they collect data and you climb up. Women, when they date, they start at 100. And then as you find out more, they keep going down. And I just feel like that really stood with me because I'm the same. Like, I feel like I'll see someone, obviously when I was dating, and I'm like, oh my God, he has an amazing job. Wow. He's so hot. Like this, that he's texting. So he's already at 100. And then he changes up the vibe a little bit. And I'm like 90. Oh, he didn't make plans? 80. You know what I mean? And he like decreases.
I feel like I'm starting at zero with people. I feel good about it now, but I was at 100. But I think for me now, I'm like, no expectations, not attached to the outcome. Mm. It could go either way. I'm not like envisioning our wedding. I'm not like, oh my God, this is how it's going to go. I'm not putting my life on hold for this person. Like I have moved past that stage and you go through that stage, I think. And so now I'm just like, great.
Yeah.
I bring way too much to the table. Like, I don't want to, you know
you
what I
mean? You are the table.
I built the table. I am the table. You're sitting on the table. Winnie's on the table with me.
You're the building. No, but seriously, I love that. And I think that too, again, as there's more support, community, more women talking about dating, like all of this stuff, this is like normal. You know what I mean? Talking about your love language, talking about your attachment styles, talking about your shitty date, talking about divorce. Like all of it is normal and you're just going
through
life. But
also like, let's stop making single bad.
It's
like,
exactly.
It's so weird that people are like, oh, wow, you're back. Yeah. But here's what I'll say. I've met a lot of great guys. Mm-hmm. I've gone on dates with really great guys. They're out there. Like they weren't for me, but I'm like, so I don't believe the trope of like, oh, get out. It's a nightmare out there. Yeah. Sure it is. Like I'm sure, and I've definitely had dates that I'm like, woof, that was crazy.
Yeah.
But I, for the most part, there's really good guys out there. And I think like, let's stop talking around this narrative of like, it's gonna be awful. No, like life is long. Like, you know, get out there, meet people, enjoy being single, enjoy, you know, all those things. I think, I don't know. That's my philosophy on it. It took me a while to get here. So,
and
you know.
Stop asking women that are older or younger, when are you having kids? When are you having, like, I can't imagine a man being on a podcast and be like, so, have you thought about children? Can you imagine that?
I don't know. I'm going to start asking guys.
Yeah. Like, have you thought about children? When do you want to settle down? Like, no, you just can't.
I love it. Wait. Okay. So we have some listener questions.
Okay. You want me to go or you want to go?
I don't have them. So I think you're going to go.
Okay. So one of the questions that came in is, what's your feeling about going public with your relationships with your relationship as you're building your business in public?
Here's what I'll say. It's so funny because I was on Morgan's podcast the other day and I said, she's like, are you going to go public with your next relationship? Mm. And I said, I don't think I was really public with my last relationship. She goes, girl. And she like called me out. She's like, yeah, you were. And I was like, was I?
Wow.
I feel like, I mean, again, probably not the last few years because things were rough, but I guess, yeah, in a way. Mm. Look, I think it's really, really challenging. I think all of us become like a part-time detective when one of our favorite influencers starts like posting. Totally. And you're like, what happened? You know, it's just like, the detective and all of us are interested in that stuff. But here's what I'll say. I think putting anything on a pedestal and on display is challenging. Like, I always love when it's like, oh, that couple dropped the fall photo shoot. They must be real close to divorce. Like, truly. And it's true.
Yeah.
In many ways. But like, I think that any extra spotlight on your relationship makes it up for more criticism, makes 100%. It more, you know, all the things.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think I don't know the answer to that. I think it's challenging. I think when you're building a business, it depends. What's your personal brand, right? Is your personal brand, there's people who are creators together and have great relationships and they like, you know, are both doing it together. So if you're both creators, I don't know, like maybe I don't know. Yeah. It's a really personal choice. I would say probably not. But like an occasional tease on the IG stories, right, to keep people guessing. No, I'm just kidding.
No, truly. I mean, for me, I feel like, I don't know, I don't want people to be in my business. And I know Matt, like, he'll like post pictures of us on his page and all that stuff, which is like cute.
So sweet. Yeah, no, so we want the guy to post.
Let's just be clear. You flaunt me all the way around.
I am pinned to the top.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I do remember like not posting Matt. I don't know what it was. And I said, I was like, oh my God, so busy. And someone was like, wait, what happened with you and Matt or you and your husband? And I'm like, nothing. Just because I'm not posting about it doesn't mean anything happened. We're actually thriving because I'm not posting about my relationship. You know what I mean? I don't know.
People like, would ask me to, and I'd be like, I got divorced. Yeah.
We're not together.
Yeah, no.
I don't know. So I think it really depends on like, again, one, you're cool with people giving you their opinions and like being in your business. For me, I'm like,
no thanks. Yeah.
Whenever I want to, I will, but I don't have to.
Okay. Second listener question, because I have a good one.
Okay.
What's the feeling on, because this is a big debate amongst me and my friends, and I think you and I have talked about this as well. Guys who follow a lot of girls on Instagram.
I'm going to tell you right now, I think it's disgusting.
Thank you.
I just don't think, like, I hate it. It's such a turnoff. If I see that you're following all of these random chicks, like, it's a turnoff.
Not interested.
I'm not interested. And I'm also like, I don't need that level of stress. Like, I just don't need that. Your job as my partner is to make sure I feel secure.
Yep.
And like, I feel reassured in our relationship. There is no reason for me. That's like me going out and finding, I don't know, guys and just like starting to follow it. Like, I'm not opening the doors for that. I hate it. And obviously, I'm very triggered by it.
I'm not talking about like, oh, he follows like, you know, Sydney Sweeney and like, I'm talking thousands of like Instagram models, which again, nothing wrong with it.
Yeah.
They're doing nothing wrong. It's a no for me.
It's a no for me. Especially if you're in a relationship, but if you're dating, it's like,
oh, if you're in a relationship, I mean, in dating, I do whatever you want, but like that, to me, that's a red flag. If I'm dating and I see that, I'm like, oh, what's going on there? I'm bringing it up. I'm having the conversation.
Immediately.
I'm like, who's Jessica, Tabitha, Julia, Daniela, whatever, you know. But I think in a relationship, oh my God, no way. I get the ick when men who are in relationships like my stories. I'm like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, or like, go gorgeous away. Or DM. Like, no. And we were talking about that. Obviously,
immediate
like,
block.
When we bought Create and Cultivate, people came out of the woodworks. Like, here's like, don't come... Hey, stranger, don't hey, stranger me. Don't WYD me. Like, what are you doing? No, I don't want any of that.
Wow. I didn't get any of that. My brand has been all women for 150 years. Literally, I've not seen a man. Like, I've not worked with men. I've not been around men. I literally, like, was going to do a call out to the Crane Culture community, be like, send your cousins and your brothers. Well, to me, like, help me.
As my Instagram, like, whatever people are following me, I'm looking and I'm like, oh my God, we're at like 80% women. Like, let's go. Because it was lower.
That yours was your personal one.
Yeah.
It's like 99% women.
I'm like, yes, this is so good. But no, I do, like, again, going back to that, like, don't slide into my DM. I don't like that. I don't like,
yeah, no.
I don't like a guy that just follows a bunch of girls. Like, I don't know. You just come off like gross to me.
Someone said to me, it's the new Maxim. You know, it's like, it's like, instead of, remember Maxim? Magazine,
yes, I know, yeah.
But like you would get that and like look at it, but now they're like, I don't need Maxim, I just have like the internet and I'm just gonna, yeah. And sometimes I see like friends' husbands liking those photos and I'm like, oh
yeah.
Anyway, I think it's a no. Next,
it's
question.
A no for me. Okay, as an entrepreneur, it's really hard to prioritize your relationship. How do you make time and like what's like what works, what's a turn off, what's a turn, like how do you work through it?
I mean, my marriage failed, so.
Got it. Okay, so for us,
I failed at that, so you go.
Okay, a couple of things. One, boundaries. We talked about that. You just got to set boundaries. For me, like, I just always need to feel supported. So again, having a structure, sitting down on Sunday, going through the schedule, when are we traveling? We have a shared calendar. Like, life needs to be as organized as possible. And another thing is, for me, as a woman entrepreneur, also dating someone that's an entrepreneur, or when you're dating someone in corporate, whatever it is, for whatever reason, men's career sometimes gets prioritized over the woman's career.
Mm-hmm.
That to me is my biggest trigger ever, when I feel like, well, why is your meeting more important than my meeting?
Precisely.
We have the same meeting, same time. Like, why do you get, and it, that has been something that we've worked really, really hard on to make sure that everybody gets the same level of respect. So I think it's a lot of communication. I mean, I communicate everything. You know, obviously, Matt communicates everything.
I love Matt so much.
Like, but that is one of the biggest things. So again, scheduling, making sure you're very clear on your boundaries, talking through everything.
Healthy confrontation, though, I think in retrospect, that was something that was missing. And I think Matt is so good at that. But I also think, you have to fight well,
yeah,
as a couple.
Right. You cannot cross a line. There's always that like invisible line. You don't cross it because you cannot take some of those things back. And so, ruthless.
Sounds familiar.
But so that's that. But also, one of the things that I live by, time, tone, and turf. If you want to have a conversation about something that is a little bit difficult or uncomfortable, make sure it's the right time, the right tone, and the right turf, like where you are. So this conversation came from Emily. She's like a sex...
Sex with Emily?
Yes.
Yeah.
This was her masterclass. And she was saying, you know, if your sexual chemistry is not well, you don't have it while you're in bed or while you're having sex, right? Mm-hmm. You're doing it during a walk. Maybe that's different. So time, tone, and turf. Those are like the three T's that I stick by.
I love that so much.
Yeah.
Amazing. Well, I think we covered quite a bit.
That
amazing.
Was so much fun.
Oh, so that's it for this episode of Work Party. We had a little too much fun. Be sure to submit your listener questions. We're answering them weekly.
And follow and subscribe to the podcast and leave us a review if you have a minute. And don't forget,
work hard
and party on.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Work Party. If you like what you heard, follow, leave a review, rate the pod, or slide into our DMs.
Check out the different ways you can create and cultivate on our website, createcultivate.com. From retreats and masterminds to our summits and festival.
We have different experiences to support you through your entrepreneurial journey from launch
to legacy.
Follow us at Create Cultivate on all platforms. And don't forget, work hard.
Party on.